This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. A massive oil spill on the Kalamazoo River continues to be a topic of reporting and discussion nearly 7 years after the pipeline owned by Enbridge Energy ruptured near Marshall. The disaster is often cited now as a reason to shut down a pipeline owned by Enbridge that runs under the Straits of Mackinac. A video on the National Wildlife Federation website recalls the disaster, the slow response, and the problems that followed. Beth Wallace is pipeline specialist for the National Wildlife Federation's Great Lakes Regional Center. Beth, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
So in this video, we hear from a number of people, Bell's founder Larry Bell, former Congressman Mark Schauer, Kenneth Kornheiser, the acting president of the Kalamazoo River Watershed Council, and John LaForge, a homeowner whose family had to evacuate their home. What do you think these people all together kind of tell us? What do they represent about the oil spill from 7 years ago?
We really wanted to capture a diversity of perspective when going through that disaster in 2010. And so we reached out to all different walks of life and just asked them to relive what that was like. And the first video that was released that you mentioned is going over the initial impact, how people felt and what they experienced. And then we will release another video in the coming week, which will go over more of the long-term response and restoration effort.
One of the things we hear from Larry Bell is that the first responders could not tell the doctors what they had been exposed to because they didn't know. Does this say something about the response and what Enbridge was willing to tell even their own employees about what had happened?
Yeah, one of the most shocking things that the community, including myself, experienced was that when a disaster like this happens, the at-fault party, in this case Enbridge, is responsible for almost all of response, including managing and helping with health effects. And one of the key pieces of that is knowing what you're exposed to. And unfortunately, in this particular situation, and it's happened in other spills as well, the trade secrets of the product release was a priority over the health of the people, both residential and first responders. And it took, I remember the hearing in September, which was well over a month past the spill. There was still confusion at that hearing as to what actually spilled and what people were exposed to. And there's never been a long-term health study that's been requested or required of Enbridge or their responding agencies. And that's something that the community, especially people with young children, have been begging for. And it's been an unfortunate circumstance that it hasn't been required through the fines and penalties and other parts of the spill.
Is there any chance that that could still happen? With the case having been settled and the fines assessed and that sort of thing, is there still some sort of mechanism to require or at least request a long-term health effects study?
Not that I can think of, unless some kind of legal action were to come about because of long-term health effects. But there's the statute of limitations, and there's concerns that that's lapsed.
So 7 years on, as you say, we don't know that. We don't know the long-term health effects. What do we know? What did we really learn from the oil spill on the Kalamazoo River?
Well, the major thing that we learned the hard way is that the product that Enbridge is transporting at the time, which is heavy crude, reacts much differently than anything the industry is used to when dealing with spills and response. And so not only was it a huge ecological disaster because the product is heavier than water and most oil response is at the surface level, but it was also the benzenes and the chemicals within the oil are VOCs, carcinogens. And so there was a huge lesson learned on how to respond to both wildlife and human health effects. And it needs to be instant and there needs to be coordination. And I think that's what we are starting to see translated to response drills with other pipelines, including Line 5, is they're considering a lot more of the health effects and everything else and bringing in agencies and first responders to train on that. However, unless industry is more willing to give up the information that is or the information on the product in their pipelines, then our hands are still tied to within their box and their frame of what they want to release, which has been something that I would have hoped would translate into the legislation and regulation, but that has not been the case so far.
If we don't know what's in the oil, if that remains secret for proprietary reasons, then it's really hard to draw the lines in terms of what that means for health of the people who are around the oil spill. Is that what you're getting at there?
Yeah, and they are required to give over material data sheets, but for whatever reason, this particular response, there were all kinds of confusion. We're hoping that through this video and additional information releases and communications that we can start to have a conversation more largely at a national level about requiring that this happen immediately and that we have more transparency between pipeline operators and public and first responders.
So beyond the long-term health effects, are there other things that 7 years later remain any sort of a mystery about the Kalamazoo River oil spill?
I guess what has happened in the last year is that a lot of the information that was once available has started to go away on particular sites. And one piece of information that I've had a hard time getting a hold of is how much oil actually remains in the river. So Enbridge maintains that around 840,000 gallons of heavy diluted bitumen spilled into the Kalamazoo River watershed. The EPA has cited that as much as 1.2 million gallons have been recovered. And then there's also this issue of submerged oil remaining that will continue to either be monitored or cleaned up when the situation is ripe for it to be cleaned up. And so there's still a lot of questions in the local communities as to the health of the river and long-term restoration plans. And I hope that the community and the responding agencies continue to be transparent on that, because there are concerns that the information is starting to go away because the state has settled with Enbridge, as has the federal government.
And part of the reason that that is a mystery is because we're talking heavy crude oil that goes right to the bottom of the river. So you're talking about oil that might still be in sediment and that sort of thing. Is that why that is still unknown as to how much oil is still in the river?
Correct. And unfortunately, the river was at 100-year flood state when the spill occurred. And so not only was it in the main river channels, it was also in the flood banks and the wetlands all along the river. And so as soon as it started to weather and separate, the heavy bitumen, the heavy crude that was in the pipeline began to sink and become absorbed into the environment. And there was a lot of dredging. There was a lot of cleanup that occurred, invasive cleanup. But both agencies, federal EPA and the DEQ, have all said that there's still oil that remains that needs to continue to be monitored.
So at the end of this video, the part one of the story on the Kalamazoo River, we hear Kenneth Kornheiser, the acting president of the Kalamazoo River Watershed Council, say that it could have actually been worse, that the oil could have ended up in Lake Michigan. As he says, the real catastrophe, this was bad enough, in his words. Is the larger point here then that you're getting at that if Line 5 has a rupture, that will be in Lake Michigan. That will be in the Great Lakes.
Correct. And the major concern with there being a rupture of any kind in the Great Lakes or near the Great Lakes that could make it into the bodies of water is that it's our main source of surface freshwater drinking. And so if there is any kind of spill, what would that do for our drinking source? The Kalamazoo River, as many know, was closed for up to 5 years in some portions, and that included any contact whatsoever with the river. When the initial spill happened, they also advised people to not use well water within a certain proximity. And so it would be a Flint-sized disaster if it happened in the Great Lakes. And how are we prepared to manage that, if at all? In our research, there's not much of a plan in place for the communities that have direct sources of water right from the Great Lakes. And those are all the communities that sit right on the Great Lakes, and then also some communities you might not expect, like Grand Rapids, for example.
Is that the main reason that the video is being released now, 7 years after the oil spill, to tie these two things together, the Kalamazoo River oil spill and the possibility of an oil spill from Enbridge Line 5 in the Straits of Mackinac?
It is in part, and we also just want to make communities aware of what it was like to go through one of the largest inland oil spills in U.S. history so that they can better prepare for something like that if they have pipelines, especially diluted bitumen pipelines in their communities.
Are there a lot of communities where that would apply, a lot of places where they have pipelines that's carrying this heavy crude oil through a waterway and where you could see a spill like this?
Absolutely. The Lakehead system, which is owned by Enbridge, runs all through the Great Lakes. And that is a heavy oil pipeline system. To my knowledge, there's only a handful of pipelines within that system that don't actually carry heavy crude. And so a lot of the communities in southern Michigan, Indiana, Illinois, Ohio, Wisconsin, all have to understand the risk that's involved in transporting heavy product. And our hope is that first responders and even the EPA will take a stronger look at what kind of contingency plans need to be in place to deal with this type of product. But any oil type or oil spill in the Great Lakes is a huge risk to our ecosystem and our freshwater drinking source. And so these videos are just meant to bring awareness and to tell the story, because it's been 7 years. And unfortunately, that spill was overshadowed by the BP Gulf Horizon spill, which happened just a few months prior. And so a lot of people are not even aware in Michigan that it occurred and how disastrous it was for the communities that lived along the river.
Is it the wish of the National Wildlife Federation that Line 5 through the Straits of Mackinac be shut down as soon as possible?
We do hope that it'll be shut down, and we hope to work with the state to make sure that it's shut down in the most economical way so that there's no disruptions to the communities that may rely on certain products from the line. And there's a lot of information out there that shows that certain products from the line that we rely on in Michigan, which is very little amount, like propane, for example, can come from alternative sources. And propane is such a small quantity that you could actually replace the quantity of propane with just one rail car per day or just a couple trucks per day. The rest of the product from Line 5 actually goes into Canada for use in Eastern Canadian markets and is not used in Michigan.
What about the legal question of the authority to actually order the pipeline shut down? Is it the opinion of the National Wildlife Federation that the state could simply order that, or is it more complicated than that?
They do have jurisdiction to manage the pipeline that runs through the Straits of Mackinac. And so if they were to decide that that needs to be decommissioned because of risk, then the pipeline would have to be shut down and Enbridge would have to find an alternative route for that pipeline or the product on it. And there's also a reservation in Wisconsin. It's called the Bad River Band, and they have an easement agreement with Enbridge that has expired, and they've decided not to renew it. And so there's already a location along the pipeline that could potentially be shut down, and Enbridge needs to decide whether they just reroute the product or consider an alternative path for the pipeline.
Beth Wallace, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you so much.
Beth Wallace is pipeline specialist for the National Wildlife Federation's Great Lakes Regional Center. Links to the video and more information can be found at wmuk.org. This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.